Let's go. I was born to kill it. Yeah. I was meant to win. Facts. I am down and willing, so I will find a way. Yeah. It took a minute, now it didn't happen right away. Nah. When it get hot in the kitchen, you decide to stay. Yeah.
Welcome back to the Viking Champions podcast. And today we are joined by Joe Pask, who is a Team GB shooter. And he is also a champion shot for PRS UK and a Leopold sponsored shooter. Welcome, Joe.
Thank you, Meredith.
So tell us how your season has been so far.
Yeah, it's been a good season. So started off in February at Pro Shoot in South Wales with a very, very cold, very windy match. And it was some pretty tough conditions and probably the toughest course of fire that we've had in the UK after the PRS UK guys went to the finale in Nashville last year. They brought back quite a few ideas from the States and pretty much gave everything a go at once, and by their own admission, probably pushed the boat out a little bit too far. It was pretty tough on new shooters. Conditions were tough as well. But managed to knuckle down and win that one after a pretty close battle on day two. And then since then, had a number of good to average matches, not managed to pull any podiums out of the bag, but sort of not had any horrendous defeats. Not had any horrendous defeats beyond that either. So, yeah, average and topped out in fifth for the PRS UK season overall.
And what does that mean to finish the season fifth? What does that unlock?
So, fortunately, the PRS UK guys have managed to get places at the US finale for the top five UK guys. So, just by the skin of my teeth, managed to scrape into that fifth slot. And, so I'll be heading to Kansas in 2 days' time, actually.
Are you nervous?
Not so much nervous, no, because I'm just going to go and enjoy it. It'll be a good experience traveling with a good group of guys. And there's plenty of competition over there. I mean, the US guys have been doing it for a lot longer than we have. Just going to go and enjoy it.
What's the reaction that you get from the Americans when Team GB turn up?
So I think probably they're aware that they are a lot better than the rest of the world. But the guys who went to Italy this year to shoot the World Rimfire Championships, I think probably shocked a lot of the US guys and a lot of the rest of the world, really. I mean, the Open team managed to take second overall as a team. And some of our guys individually beat the American shooters as well. It wasn't just a clean sweep for the US guys. It was good to see the UK guys doing a bit of good too.
And how does the kit compare? So, you know, when you think about Americans, you generally think they have the top kit, they have the best gear, and then the Brits turn up and we're kind of, you know, cobbled together with a bit of Black Nasty and whatever you've found in the shed to get there. What's the kit like and how is it different?
So I think, obviously the US just have better access to everything. A lot of stuff's manufactured either over there or is available over there a lot easier than we have it in the UK. Sort of action wise, if you go down the custom route, availability of actions is pretty limited compared to what they can get their hands on over there. And changing calibers, swapping barrels, we're obviously restricted by our firearms licenses. They're not, they can chop and change very easily and readily. Other than that, optics, triggers, all those sorts of things, pretty much the rest of the world can get those. Well, certainly the UK guys can get them pretty easily. There's good supplies from most of the major brands through decent distributors. I suppose beyond that, sort of primers and ammunition and components are certainly a lot more expensive in the UK. And I think there's been a steady flow of components, but not as available as the US again, I think, really.
How do you feel about using the Leupold scope? Because obviously that is a through and through American bit of kit. How has it performed for you?
Yeah, I really liked it. So before I even went into any precision rifle competition or any competition at all, I bought a Mark V just really for a vermin stroke stalking scope, really. And when I dived into giving precision rifle shooting a go, I was quite lucky that I already got the optic covered. Love it. Used a couple of other scopes, looked through other manufacturers and other people's scopes, and I love the reticle. I suppose I'm familiar with it, comfortable with it, and it's never let me down, so I certainly don't have any reason to change.
You mentioned there that you did varmint control. How did you end up getting into PRS?
Social media, to be honest with you. Just saw it on Facebook, and it looked cool, I guess. It was sort of similar to deer stalking and fox shooting and things like that, or similar as target shooting can be. It wasn't sort of laid prone on a range shooting a paper. It was ringing steel and shooting off props and gateposts and car bonnets and things like that, which I've sort of been used to.
What made you, because I guess some people might think, well, you know, you go stalking, deer hunting, you're coming away with food for the fork. What do you get from PRS that's different? That's kind of ticking a box or filling a gap that you don't get when you're from deer hunting?
I suppose there's a community aspect of it, I suppose. You sort of go there to shoot with a group of very like-minded people. I mean, most of the guys who are shooting precision rifle have come from a fox shooting, deer stalking, rabbit shooting background, along with some target shooters as well. So everyone's quite like-minded. It's a very welcoming community, and it's just like going away for a weekend with your mates, really. It's just good fun. And then I think the addiction of shooting steel at long range is, well, it's very addictive. As soon as you shoot something at 600-800 yards, and you get that ding come back a second later, it's just, yeah, you're hooked, really, or I was.
Do you think that's the main pull? Because from what you've said there, it sounds like, you know, fox shooting, hunting, they're quite lonesome sports, but actually, you know, PRS and the community, I mean, how big is the community? What can you expect to walk into?
So matches generally are sort of 40 to 60 shooters, really, in a 2-day match. So you get to know everyone pretty quickly, and there's, you know, regularly 2 to 5 new shooters almost every time we go. But the community as a whole is probably 100 odd people shooting pretty regularly. Yeah.
How does it work? I mean, is it just all big burly men, or are there, you know, people involved? Are the families there? How does it work?
Yes, there's a real mixture of people, from younger shooters, lady shooters, couples there. There's also Laura and Ben Wood, who are a couple who both got into precision rifle, and certainly in the last 2 years, maybe even 18 months, and they bring their little son Louis along. He first came to the range at like 6 weeks old with them. A real mixture of old and young and ladies and guys as well, giving it a go. And a mixture of physiques, from not probably particularly active people to, yeah, real active guys as well.
What do you need to get started? So if someone is listening to this and they think that sounds like something I need in my life, because it actually does, it sounds really fun and you get to meet people and you're active, where do they even start?
So really all you need is a rifle that's capable of shooting 500 to 600 meters and a scope that's dialable, and then ammunition that's capable of shooting that distance as well, and the dope for that ammunition. Everything beyond that, really, you can beg, borrow and steal off people. I mean, said before, it's really welcoming community. If you say, oh, I haven't got a bag, or can I borrow your tripod, or can I borrow anything, you get like three or four people throwing things at you to lend kit. So yeah, as long as you've got a rifle that's capable of shooting the distance, ammunition and the dope for that rifle, and a scope that's dialable, you're good.
How much is that kit going to set you back, or a starter kit? Plus, I guess...
It's a difficult one, really. I suppose it depends how deep into the rabbit hole you go and what you've got already. I mean, if you've got a stalking rifle that's got, say, something like a 6.5 Creedmoor in a factory setup with a scope that could be anywhere from, say, £500 to £600 all the way through to, you know, £4,000 premium optics, you could do it on a budget with £800 factory rifle and a £500 to £800 scope as well, just to get you started, and then you can dive into the rabbit hole after your first match and spend thousands.
Did you ever envisage that you would get so hooked you'd end up, you know, flying abroad to compete? I mean, it must be a completely different life in a relatively short amount of time.
Yeah, no, I didn't, to be honest with you. No, it is addictive. That's the only real way to describe it. No, not at all. But still enjoy my lonesome deer stalking and fox shooting and things like that as well. It's not completely taken over.
So when did you decide I'm going to pick up PRS, and how long was it between starting up and actually then qualifying for, you know, to travel to France, to the States, and winning competitions?
So shot my first match in August 2020, which I was supposed to actually think shoot the first match in like July, but I think COVID put a stop to that match. So yeah, shot my first match in August 2020. That was my first time I'd ever been on a range. And there was only, I think we're limited by numbers to the match. They ran 3 one-day matches on Friday, Saturday and Sunday, and finished sort of middle of the pack for that, which I was really, really happy with, to have never done anything like that before. Very happy with that performance. And then shot a small match a couple of months later, and then went up to Scotland to shoot a Send It series match at Gardner's Guns, and I actually came third in that match, and that was my first podium finish. And at that point, I then sort of deep dove into chasing kit, I think, really. I had a sort of stalking rifle set up, and a nice stalking rifle, but it wasn't a full race rig. And it was really at that point I then decided for 2021 I was going to try and compete a bit better, and bought a chassis, had the barrel change and things like that.
Is it a bit of a slippery slope?
It is, but yeah, that's self-inflicted, I think. Yeah. If you're stubborn enough, you can definitely shoot, you know, off the shelf factory gear. But yeah, it's shiny, nice things catch your eye very easily.
How do you prepare for the competitions? Do you practice during the week, or how do you kind of make sure that you're getting those podium spots and you're qualifying?
I think, to be honest, that's a reason I've probably slipped a little bit this year. I just haven't really had much time to practice between matches, or I haven't made time to practice maybe between matches so much as I did previous years. You can do dry firing, so it's a case of setting up a prop at home and just having no ammunition, just cycling the bulb and practicing with dry fire effectively. But my practice has really been the next match. I've been pretty rubbish this year in practicing between matches, and I think that's probably why things have just slipped a little bit, to be honest.
What do you do for your in your day job or normal life?
So I work for a company that builds sports surfaces. So our summer period is extremely busy, and that tends to be where most of our matches are. They run generally from February to October is the season. So yeah, started off well in February when I was a bit quieter, and work seemed to have taken over a little bit, but also guilty of not making time to practice as well.
Could you ever see yourself going full time, or PRS becoming big enough in the UK to sustain itself as a mainstream competitive sport?
Never say never, but I think it's probably unlikely. It's obviously massive in the US, and there's probably a handful of shooters, if even a handful, that are doing it full time. And a lot of those are just because they're industry related people. But yeah, I'm not aware of anyone who's sort of full time running the PRS scene without a day job, really.
But if you could, would you?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. 100%.
And if you had, if it was your full-time job, and you could have any kit in the world, what would your setup look like if cost wasn't an expense? If cost wasn't a consideration?
Probably relatively similar to what I've got in terms of rifle setup. I think the big thing would be to have access to a range. That if you were going to do this full time, yeah, if you can have a range in your backyard, that would be the biggest thing that you'd want. 500, 600 meter range would be ideal, or 1,000 yard range would be even better.
So you wouldn't change anything about your setup in any other way?
I don't think so. No. Maybe nice to have sort of better actions or newer actions or more actions, but I'm pretty comfortable with the setup I'm running, actually.
What's your take on off-the-shelf solutions? So with pro shoot firearms becoming a centre of excellence for PRS, and they're allowing people to kind of demo Savage rifles with the Leopold scopes, what's your take on the kind of off-the-shelf solutions like a Savage and Leopold combo for people who are thinking about getting involved? Is that kind of good enough to get them going?
Absolutely it is, yeah. There's some really good off-the-shelf options like that. Matt Alwine, who's based in the US, he's using Savage rifles for both the PRS and the NRL Hunter series. And he's had a very good run, especially in the NRL Hunter series, winning not just the factory division, but also whole matches ahead of guys using thousands of dollar setups. So they're more than capable. It's the nut behind the butt a lot of the time, I think.
I like that phrase. What was his name again, the guy in the States?
Matt Alwine, Alwaine, I think. He's also a Leupold team shooter.
Oh, brilliant. I'll have a look out for him, because that's really interesting. I think being able to, have one tool that is multi-purpose, that you can take it out for whatever need, makes so much sense, especially in the UK when, it's hard enough to get a license. And then, all the rigmarole about storing and carriage of arms, and actually just making it easy seems to make sense.
100%. And getting more firearms for various different formats of precision rifle shooting, it's more difficult than just having one off-the-shelf solution, isn't it, I suppose?
Yeah. How hard was it for you to get your license? And, have you had to go through the renewal process or anything like that, or changes?
Yeah, so I've had a firearm certificate for about 12 years now. And gone through a couple of renewals. I was fortunate enough to have all the firearms I've got based off vermin shooting and deer stalking. So I've not actually had to get any extra firearms to target shoot. I think probably arguably easier to get them for target shooting once you've got a good reason. The challenge is many forces aren't even aware of what precision rifle shooting is yet. It's quite a new sport in the UK. So asking for a rifle to go and shoot precision rifle, not just at a club that you're registered at, is maybe a bit of a challenge. Sorry, that was a rubbish answer to that.
No, it wasn't. So it's been fairly straightforward for you.
Fairly straightforward for me, yeah. I quite fortunate I'd already got a good reason for the rifles in terms of, yeah, stalking and fox shooting, really.
And what's your take on ammunition and, you know, changes to the use of lead in shooting? How could that affect PRS?
That could be a huge impact, really, because lead core bullets, as we currently shoot with a copper jacket, explode on impact, fragment on impact rather very quickly. Monolithic type bullets or non-lead variants, anyway, copper alloys and things like that, they don't tend to fragment quite as easy as a lead core bullet. So I think there's potentially problems with the effect they're going to have on ranges and safety areas and things like that. They're more likely to ricochet. I mean, I'm sure there's technology being developed to replace lead in a target shooting scenario, but it could have a really big impact, actually.
Does that worry you?
A little bit, yeah. Just hopeful that there'll be derogations and sensible systems put in place for rangers that have already had millions and millions and millions of bits of copper and lead fired into them. It's also a concern though if you're shooting over private land. I mean, zeroing and things like that. You need to turn up to a range with a rifle that's ready to shoot. We don't have the luxury of developing loads and then loading them and taking them to a match. You need to turn up to a match with your rifle ready to shoot and compete.
Gosh, I feel a bit stumped now because it's kind of, there doesn't seem to be a solution on the horizon, but equally, you know.
I mean, there's some big players, obviously, like the Bisleys, the Pro Shoots, properly constructed ranges, military ranges. A lot of those guys don't allow monolithic bullets at all at the moment. So there's got to be a bit of sense into how that either phasing works or whether derogations allowed for those guys to just use copper and lead bullets as they currently are.
Yeah. So good.
I don't fully understand enough about it, to be honest with you, but it's definitely a concern at the moment. If you turned up to a range shooting non-toxic copper only bullets, you wouldn't be allowed to compete.
So you basically can only at the moment shoot lead to compete.
Yeah, exactly that. And the 2-2 guys, it's even worse. Yeah, there's like 2-2 ammo is only lead, really, certainly for target shooting.
Yeah. Gosh. Well, I guess if people are kind of listening and want to get involved with having their voices heard around the proposed ban on lead, they can always go to BASC and take part in the consultation and feedback through places like the Gun Trade Association to try and fight the cause. Going back to kind of happier thoughts about the
people,
when you compete in the States, what kind of thing are you going to be doing? Because the footage that I've seen, it looks crazy. It's people running around. It looks chaotic. It looks unsafe, but obviously it's not. Can you talk me through a typical day of what that competition will look like?
Yeah, so I think probably for anybody who doesn't really understand PRS, if you compare it to going for a round of 100 sporting clays, it's quite similar to that. So you'll have 8 to 10 stages per day set out with various targets. Generally shooting sort of between 8 and 12 rounds at between 1 and 5 or 6 different targets, shot off either prone or various positions off barricades or props or things like that. So each stage is different and you're shooting, 100-ish rounds per day. So the US finale that we're going to is 10 stages a day, 10 rounds per stage, for a total of 200 rounds for the match. And it's the range layout that we're going to this time is a field type range. It's got around about 330 degree arc of fire. So they've got a south range and a north range. And as I'm led to believe anyway, that you almost shoot you shoot a different wind every single stage. You never shoot sort of like if you're shooting at Bisley, for example, or even pro shoot, most of the shooting is straight down the range in almost one direction of fire. There's a little bit of a pan change. In Kansas for this match, it's going to be different every single time you shoot a stage. So that'd be really good. You've got challenges with the wind then, and working out how that's affected. It's more difficult to carry that from the previous stage into the next stage. So it should be really good fun.
What kind of things are you? How is it different? So is it the kind of moving prone position up through windows? I mean, what are the kind of obstacles like, or the courses like?
So a mixture of natural and man-made props, really. Some of those metal and wooden props are temporary or semi-permanent, and then other props could be, I've seen for Kansas, they've got a 360 excavator, they've got a bulldozer, they've got an oil pumping rig, and then along with various other props, they've got rocks set in the ground along, I don't know if they're set actually, or if they're natural rocks, but anyway, there's a series of rocks that shoot off as well. It's just anything you could think of that you could put a bag on top and rest a rifle on, or lay on top of. It's pretty much a prop that you could end up shooting off.
And do you get to practice before you do it, or is it you turn up and it's?
Yeah, so in the US, most of their matches they have a train up day on the Friday. So you turn up first thing in the morning, register, normally pay a small range fee, and you basically have access to not the whole range but part of the range, so you can check zero, and you can also check your dope out to 1,000 yards or whatever they've got available out of the range, and then some ranges will let you also shoot off the props they've got set up, some of which may be used in the match. Others will have a complete ban on going anywhere near any props that are in the match, but they'll let you shoot off other props. In the UK, we don't yet have that luxury. I think maybe one day we will, but at the moment, we don't have that luxury.
And getting your rifles out there in the first instance, is that pretty straightforward?
It's actually really, really straightforward. So the only requirement to get into the US with your firearms is that you've got an invitation to either hunt or compete. So we had an invitation letter sent for the competition about 3 months ago now, sent off our invitation letter along with an ATF form back to the US government, and within 6 days I got mine back signed, authorised for me to then travel into the States, and that's actually a year long open ticket, so I can travel in and out of the States with my firearms for a whole year.
That's amazing. Do you think, could you ever envisage the UK hosting Americans from Kansas in wet and windy Wales at any stage to see how they...
I would like to think so, yeah. This year, we've had quite a lot of international shooters come over. So we had three Canadian shooters come over in February, the guys from MDT, and then various other points throughout the season. We've had guys from Germany, Belgium, Norway, Italy, Germany. We had I think 13 international shooters, which was great to see. So hopefully, yeah, at some point we'll get some of the US guys over too.
That's amazing. And how did they what did they think? What was their feedback?
Really positive, actually. The feedback generally for what the guys are doing has been really, really good. I think even the main PRS US guys have been very impressed with what the guys in the UK are doing. It's been really good.
And then I have so many questions. Post Kansas, but I won't keep you too long. What's in terms of kind of Team GB, where can you compete next? So are the European Championships, is it kind of an Olympic sport? What's the kind of next round with it all?
So the way that they've been playing it so far, so we had the very first World Championships in France last year, which was a centre-fire match. And then this year we had the very first rimfire match, world rimfire match rather, which was in Italy. So the plan is for those to be rotated every year. So it'll be centre-fire, rimfire, centre-fire, rimfire. So next year, the US are actually hosting the centre-fire World Championships in Cameo, Colorado. So 2023 is basically the qualification year for GB selection. And I think we've got two more qualifying shoots left for the 2023 season for then selection to shoot for GB. So we're getting a pretty good idea of what the team's going to look like, but that could change. That can quite easily change actually in the next couple of matches. And that will be September next year when we go over there.
And is that team kind of wholly male, or is it male and female, or just
male and female? Yeah. So we've got the ladies team, or ladies division rather. We've got a factory division. We've got a limited division, which is 308 and 223. We've got a junior division and a mill stroke law enforcement division as well.
Oh, wow.
The open
That's
division.
Much bigger.
Yeah, so France last year we filled, or we had teams for every division apart from ladies and limited. This year in Italy, they managed to fill all the divisions and all the teams, and did really, really well there. Came back with podiums for almost all divisions. As well. Oh, and senior division as well. Sorry, that's the other division that's included. So yeah, came back with podiums for almost every division that went to Italy, which was a great achievement. So yeah, I think this next time round we're hoping to field full teams again.
And if people want to get involved and be in with a chance of competing for GB, which is it's an amazing accolade. I mean, how cool is that? How do people get involved?
So the GBPRA is probably the best point of contact to start with. They're sort of bringing every match provider together. They've got a full list of dates on their website across all match providers, both 2-2 and centre-fire. So yeah, reach out to those guys, have a look at their website, and loads of information on there. Also, to be fair, if you recognise any of the guys who are competing, guys and girls who are competing, shoot them a message on Facebook or Instagram or anything like that. Everyone's pretty helpful and happy to discuss things.
And for anyone who wants to get into PRS, what's the best way for them to get into that?
So PRS, if you look at the PRS UK website and speak to Andy Simpson, really, he's the one of the co-founders and owners of PRS UK. He generally sorts out all the social media and sort of the admin side of PRS UK along with his two partners. A lot of people, I certainly was as well, I think a lot of people are nervous about sort of dipping their toe in it to start with. They would like to, but they're maybe concerned about not knowing anyone, or that they maybe don't feel good enough to compete. They've, see everybody competing regularly and it's a little bit scary, I suppose, going to do that for the first time, but genuinely it isn't. Everyone's very welcoming. Just come along and give it a go, and hopefully you'll be as hooked as we all are.
That's brilliant. Thank you, Joe. And I think for anyone who wants to reach out to Joe, you can find him on his Instagram handle, which is Precision Rifle Joe.
Thanks very much.
Well remembered me. we'll keep up with you and we'll keep talking. And those links that Joe mentioned, if you want to find out more, you can head to GBPRA or you can head to PRS UK. and to find out more about how to get involved with precision rifle shooting in the UK. Thank you very much, Joe. Enjoy the rest of your evening.
Thanks, Meredith. You too. Good chat.